In our Lord's time, every father taught his son a trade. And so, as you know, Jesus was trained as a carpenter. But what would have happened if Jesus had grown up in our own time? What might he have become? Totally speculative, of course, but I'll wager a guess. I guess that he would have become an optometrist. Giving sight to the blind was his favorite miracle, and helping people to see rightly, that is, to see as God sees, was at the very heart of his message. I am the light of the world, our Lord said. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It's a funny thing about light, you can't see it directly. Light makes everything visible except itself. And as it is with light, so it is with our Lord. He is, ever since his ascension to heaven, every bit as present and active as he ever was on earth, though now that presence and that activity is mysteriously hidden. Tonight we celebrate Holy Thursday. Here's the only day of the entire year in which the church tells the priest what he's supposed to preach about. Three things: the Eucharist, the priesthood, and our Lord's commandment of charity. Three ways in which our Lord is present and active, but mysteriously hidden. You ever heard of a book called The Little Prince? Yeah, it's originally published in French, came out in the 40s, really popular book. Styled as a children's book, right? Very much for grown-ups, this book is. And I can tell you, I can summarize the book in just one line. The fox said to the little prince, "Now I must go, but first I leave with you my secret. It is only with the heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye." What is essential is invisible to the eye, the little prince said to himself, so as not to forget. What is essential is invisible to the eye. There's much in our faith that is invisible to the eye, and so essential because it's no less than the working and presence of Christ himself. On the night before he died, our Lord took bread. In giving thanks and saying the blessing, he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. This is my body." And in the same way, he took a cup filled with wine. And once again, saying the blessing and giving thanks, he gave it to his apostles and he said, "Take this and drink of it. This is my blood." And you know when he did that, he gave us the greatest gift he would ever give. The greatest gift of Holy Thursday. And what's the greatest gift our Lord has ever given us? The Blessed Sacrament, brothers and sisters. The Eucharist. Which is nothing less than Jesus Christ himself. Really and truly present. Not a pious memory of Jesus. Not a mere memorial. Not a warm feeling or a happy thought. But Christ our Lord now, just as present as he ever was when he walked this earth, just as present as he is right now with the Father and the Holy Spirit in eternity. You know, my favorite explanation of the Blessed Sacrament, believe it or not, it's something I heard when I heard a Protestant give a talk. He got up there and he said, "You know what those Catholics believe about the Eucharist? They believe that that is actually him." And I thought to myself, bravo, that's exactly right. You see that thing that appears to be just a little white host? We believe that that is actually him. The greatest gift of Holy Thursday now, the greatest gift he would ever give us, his real presence, but mysteriously hidden. And on the night before he died, our Lord said to his apostles, "Do this in memory of me." Now, whenever God commands something, we believe that he enables us to carry out what he commanded. And that's why when our Lord said to his apostles, do this in memory of me, he enabled them to go and to do that. And that's why Holy Thursday is celebrated as the day in which our Lord gave the church the gift of the priesthood. Another means by which our Lord is present and active, though mysteriously hidden. The gift of the priesthood, very strange gift this is. Very strange gift. Because every gift that's given in the world, it's given to you, and it's given for you, and it's given for your benefit. So if I give you a gift, right, I'm going to wrap it up all nice and pretty, and I'm going to hand it to you, and I'm going to say, here's my gift to you, it's yours. And you can do anything you want with that gift. No strings attached. You can cherish it for the rest of your life if you want to. Or you can take it to your next office social function and give it away as a re-gift, right? You can put it up on the shelf and let it collect dust. You can use it as a doorstop for all I know. It's yours. Priesthood isn't given like that. Here's one gift that's not given to the one who receives it, but rather through the one who receives it for your good. And why is that? So that Jesus Christ himself can be the gift that's given. That's why, brothers and sisters. That is why. Now, the priest stands before you. He is every bit as weak and frail and flawed as you are. And he's carrying the same cross. He's walking the exact same road. But because of the gift of the priesthood, there's one thing about the priest that's fundamentally different. And that is, by God's own grace and the gift of the sacrament of holy orders, he's enabled to act in Christ's own person. So that when the priest stands at the altar, he says, this is my body. Guess what? Christ himself is speaking right then through that priest and for your good. This is my blood. I absolve you of your sins. Once again, our Lord, just as active in our own time and in our own place as he ever was back on that very first Holy Thursday night. Instinctively and intuitively, people know that the priest belongs to them, don't they? I know you do. I've heard you say this before, right? I've heard you say this before. You talk about the parish priest and you say, he's ours, right? He's ours. And why do you say that? You know, it's not just because the priest gave his life away to be at your service. And he did, okay? But that's not the real reason. You know the real reason? It's because somewhere deep down in your soul, you know that Christ is yours. And that because of the gift of the priesthood, that grace is given to you. Once again, really present and active, though mysteriously hidden. And here on Holy Thursday, now there's one last way in which our Lord makes himself present. Just like you heard in the gospel. On the night before he died, and during the supper, our Lord stood up, took off his outer garment, and proceeded to wash the feet of his apostles. And when he has finished, he said, now as I have done, so you also must do. And you know that washing the feet of anybody in a household was a task so menial, you couldn't even force a slave to do it. That's how bad it was. Couldn't even force a slave to do it. And our Lord says, as I have done, so now you also must do. Question for you here this evening. When our Lord says that, do you really think he's just talking about washing feet? He couldn't be. You know, in just a few minutes, just an imitation of the gospel you just heard, I'm gonna take off my outer garment, and the servers, they're going to line up here on this front step, and with mercifully warm water, I will wash their pre-washed feet, okay? But it's entirely optional. You know that rite is entirely optional? The church only included it in the Holy Thursday Mass since 1955. Do you really think our Lord was talking about washing feet? No. You know what he was doing? He was summarizing in that one command everything that he had said about charity and love for your neighbor. On the night before he died, our Lord said, this is my commandment, love one another as I have loved you. And when he told them to wash each other's feet, you know, it evoked what he'd said so long ago, when he said, "Whatever you do to the least of my brethren, that's what you do to me." Mother Teresa used to call that the gospel on five fingers. Just in case you can't remember the gospel, remember this: you did it to me. Gospel on five fingers. And we believe that for the same reason that we believe in the Eucharist, same reason we believe in the priesthood. We believe in it because Jesus said so. And I want to tell you, it's harder to believe in than to believe in the Eucharist. Because what this means, you know, the least of my brethren, this isn't just necessarily the person who's the poorest or the one who lines up in the soup kitchen, right? And you help them and you ladle soup to them and, well, I help the least of my brethren. No. There's all kinds of poverty out there. People can have great interpersonal poverty and really great on your nerves. The least of my brethren is usually the person who you like the least, right? The one you can't stand. The one who cuts you down behind your back and criticizes everything you do. The one who tries your patience to the limit. Whether it's a co-worker in the office or an ailing and frail, slowly dying relative at home. Or it's the student in the school with a real bad attitude problem, right? And you've got to remember Christ's presence in them. Man, you're going to need our Lord's grace from the Eucharist through the priesthood to carry that one out. But you want to know something a meditation that I find helpful? I'll share it with you. I like to think about Simon of Cyrene as he helped our Lord carry his cross. You know, from the Stations of the Cross, or you've heard it in the Gospel, and the Roman soldiers forced a certain passerby, Simon of Cyrene, and forced him to help our Lord carry his cross. Now, Simon of Cyrene, he was walking through Jerusalem that day. Heaven knows what business he was about. And he figured, this common criminal carrying the cross, this person was no business of his. And when he looked into the bloodied, scarred, torn and bleeding face of our Lord, do you think he really saw at that moment the second person of the Blessed Trinity? Do you think at that moment he saw God from God, light from light, true God from true God, the eternal Logos, the perfect image of the Heavenly Father, the incarnation of God on earth, the long-awaited Messiah of Israel? No. What he saw was someone who was an ordinary victim in the Roman criminal justice system. And little did he know that helping Jesus carry his cross that day would be the most important thing he'd ever do in his entire life. Very often we miss the most important moments of our entire lives. But if you ever want to be on the lookout for that moment, understand this. That moment will come when you're helping someone else carry their burden at your expense. It's our Lord's presence once again. An activity, though mysteriously hidden. C.S. Lewis once said, "I believe in Christ the same way that I believe in light. Not because I can see it, but because by it, I can see everything else." And here on Holy Thursday, let's not forget these mysterious ways in which our Lord is present and active even now, brothers and sisters. Not in the way you'd like, not in the way you'd choose, not in the way you'd prefer, and often not even in the way you'd understand. But better than all of that, in the holy means and the holy way by which he would will. And as we pass from the light of Holy Thursday into the darkness of Good Friday, let us live our lives remembering our Lord's mysterious presence, that recognizing his glory hidden here on earth, we Monday might share that glory forever with him in heaven. Amen.